Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come to you and to worship you. Jesus, we ask that everything that would happen in the sermon, in the rest of this service, in our lives, would be honoring you, that would be lifting you high before people. And Lord, help us as we learn how to produce thanksgiving to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been going through, and for any of you who may be tired of hearing me talk about money over the last 5 weeks, you'll be glad to know that this is the last one of this series that we're doing. But money is something that is 25% of the recorded words we have of Jesus are in some reference or talking about money. So we know that it's something that's important. And so what we've been learning and what we've been looking about is how to have a generous spirit like God has a generous spirit. And we are reminded that the framework, the biblical framework, the undergirding, the supporting of every time we give, it's not based out of God says we've got to give this much. It's instead based out of the fact that God has given me everything and God is so generous that he gave himself. And as we give, what we are doing is we are saying, I am giving up my God, I am giving up my idol of money, and I am choosing to worship the God of the Bible alone. We're going to be finishing up chapter 9 today, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. If you have your Bibles with me, turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ. And the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. I don't know how many of us have heard verse 6 preached. Verse 6 is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. One of the things that we're seeing here is that Paul is using a term that many of the people would have understood. They would have understood being a farmer. They would have either been farmers, they would have known farmers, they would have understood that sowing is throwing out the seed so that it can get into the ground and so that it can grow up. And reaping is that we are gathering that, and there's been fruit. And so you're able to go and you're able to take that. And I think many have misunderstood this first verse. I think many have looked at it and noticed that the next sentence after it kind of jogs a little bit, and they stop looking for more that connects it. See, I think that many of us have probably heard this verse used as, if you sow bountifully, if you give, then God's going to give back to you. He's going to give you tenfold, a hundredfold, or 10 times, 100 times what you gave to him. And I think that's how many of us have heard this passage preached. But one of the things that we must do is we must look at this text as a whole. And if you can jump down to verse 10. It says that he increase the harvest of your righteousness. What he's saying is, if you sow bountifully, if you plant liberally, if you give out your money, if you're generous with you and your life and your pocketbook, then he's not saying that all of a sudden, if you give $1,000, you're going to get $100,000. That's not it. Instead, what he's saying is, God will be working in you and he will be producing righteousness in you. One of the things that we see is, when we gain victory through the Holy Spirit over an area of sin in our life, it affects every other area of our life. And so what happens is, when we say, God, this is your money, not mine, how much do you want me to keep for myself, and how much do you want me to give to others? What we're saying is, I will not worship the God of money anymore. And we're tearing down one of our idols. And when we grow in that area, it is going to spill over into every area of our life. And there will be a harvest. We will be picking up righteousness left and right because we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. So I want you to really see from this passage that many of the well-meaning pastors that you may have heard preach on this, it's not that you're all of a sudden going to become rich financially if you give money. Instead, what this passage is saying is your life is going to change when you allow God to have control of your checkbook. Every aspect. There's an illustration I've used before, but not in this series, and I want to remind you of it. Imagine I were to give you $10,000. Now, I don't have that money to give to you, so don't come asking for it after church. But if I had $10,000 to give to you, and I said, all right, pay your bills, make sure that your family has enough to eat, and then give the rest away. Take care of people. Love others with that money. Would you be mad at me saying, I can't believe you want me to give all this money away to those people? But that's what we do to God, because every good gift that we receive is from God. We can't do anything without Jesus. And so anything that God has done, anything that we have, is not a result of our own labors. Instead, it's a result of the grace of God that He has given us a great gift. So I want us to change and shift our thinking from, man, I can't believe God wants me to give this much money, to, God, thank you so much for blessing me hugely. And how much do you want me to give away to others? How much do you want me to give to the church? If we go back to verse 7, one of the things that Paul wants us to understand about New Testament giving is, it says, what each has decided in his heart. And what we see is that there's this conflict that we're thinking through and with ourselves and saying, all right, God, how much do you want me to give? And processing through that. And what Paul is saying is, I'm not asking you to give a certain amount. What I'm asking you to do is to wrestle with yourself and wrestle with God, that He would lay on your heart the right amount, and that you would give it. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. How many times have you written out your offering check and been like, man, I could get something with this. Man, I could get my house paid off quicker if I did this. But what God wants us to do is be excited, be cheerful, be joyful that we get to be a part of the ministry that God is doing. Verse 8 is just an absolutely beautiful verse. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God is able. God is able to help you give. God is able to bless you. God is able to meet all of your needs. God is able to help you do every good work that He has called you to do. He's able. I love this verse because so often when I come into a situation where I'm struggling with sin or I'm wanting to do this and God's telling me to do that, I'm like, you know what, God, I don't think I can do it. And what God's saying through this verse is, I know you can't, but I can. And this is a beautiful verse that I think we ought to cling to. Because God is able. He's able to provide for us. I think sometimes God tells us, all right, do this, give this way. And we say, oh no, I couldn't do that. And I want you to know that God agrees with you. You can't do that. You can't do it on your own. But He is able and He will make a way. I know for me personally, I've had some health problems recently and had all these tests getting done and our insurance was dinking around and we were looking at some of these bills piling up and we're like, how are we going to deal with that? And right about the time when I said, all right, God, I can't do anything about this. The insurance came through. And it looks like things are insurmountable. It looks like we can't get past what our bills are and what different things have to happen. But what I'm here to tell you today is God is able. If He calls you to give, He will provide for you. And He will provide for your ability to give in the way He has called you to give. And He's able to help you in every other good work He's called you to as well. I know sometimes when we look at what someone has done before us and we say, oh, I couldn't do that. God is able. Oh, I don't have the patience for that. God is able. He will take care of you and equip you to do every good thing He has called you to. I just love Jesus. I am so thankful for how God works in our lives. Verse 11 talks about the gift that the Corinthians are giving. The Corinthians are giving a gift that is going to the church in Jerusalem, to those who love Jesus in Jerusalem. And what Paul is saying is, this gift that you're giving, one of the things that it is producing is thanksgiving to God. Those, you think our economic crisis is bad? Those in Jerusalem had it worse. And they're sitting there just like us, wondering, how are we going to get it done? And here comes fellow Christians alongside of us, taking care of us, blessing us. I'll tell you a story about a friend of my mom's. when I was growing up. She is a wonderful Christian lady. Mother of several children, her husband left her and things were looking really bad. She was barely getting by month to month. And one day she goes to church and she feels the Spirit of God telling her, I want you to give, I think it was $100 or $200 to so-and-so over there. And what she said is, God, we won't be able to pay our bills if I do that. And he told her, trust me. So she said, all right, God, I'm trusting you. So she blessed that person. And before the day was done, someone else from the church came to her and said, you know what? God told me that I was supposed to give you this, and hands her a check for the amount that she had just given to the other person. This isn't tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold blessing where all of a sudden, if you give this much, it's going to get back. But instead, what was happening is she showed her trust in God. And he blessed this one family that she gave to. He blessed her by her stepping out in faith, by her being able to give, by her being able to receive, and it blessed this other family that gave to her. And God was working through all of that to grow all of them, and what he produced is a harvest of righteousness and a ton of thanksgiving. If you want to know how to get others to be thankful to God, be generous. Be generous. Love people. Talked about this in the first sermon I did on this, but if you go out to dinner after service, tip well. Be generous, like Jesus has been generous to you. If you've ever worked in the service industry, you know that the worst time to work is Sundays after church. Because we think we're giving something so much better by leaving a track. Don't leave a track if you're not willing to give at least 20%. Because what you're saying is you're giving a false impression of God, because if they see Jesus in you, then what they see Jesus as is Jesus is a cheapskate. And Jesus isn't a cheapskate. In fact, next verse, verse 15 says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. What's the inexpressible gift? Jesus. It is all about Jesus. He gave everything up. He was so generous that he did not leave a single thing for himself. And he came down from the riches and the glories of heaven down to earth, took on human flesh, lived a sinless life. And trust me, none of us have done that. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he died on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserved. That we deserve. Giving us his righteousness, his goodness. He made us clean, wiping all our sins away. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. so that we one day can rise like him and live forever and ever with Jesus. It is all about Jesus. He is so awesome. So as you give, as we respond to God's word, do not give feeling like, oh, I can't believe God wants me to give. But give joyfully, knowing that it will produce thanksgiving among God's people. And know that it stems from the fact that Jesus has been generous with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all of your blessings. Help us to be generous like you. Help us to fall in love with you more. And Lord, I pray that we would so generously so that we can have a harvest of righteousness that we never thought we could ever have. In Jesus' name, amen.